to visit me as example, okay? And they give you some orange juice or some water, Pepsi, whatever it is. So, you know, little kids, okay, or some people, they think maybe some their father drank out of it. So, no, don't touch it, okay? They take the things, throw it. Say, if this woman drinks the leftover of this man, she'll be running behind him. That means she will fall in love with him and she finally going to have to marry this man. Okay, and if this man go to visit these people, okay, and they give him something to drink and say, okay, you want to marry him, you understand, you go ahead and they drink the leftover. And this is something only to show you how some people, they so indulge in jahiliyyah. But this is, so this is something that I mentioned that related to suhr, okay. But this has nothing to do with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the suhr is pure under any condition from a male or female. And it is permissible for a man to drink after a woman and a woman to drink after a man from the same vessel and also from the kafir. Somebody will say, but Allah said the kafir is impure. Yes, it's true that Allah said that the kafir is impure. But the impurity of the kuffar is not in a physical sense, okay? It is in their heart, in their aqidah, in their belief. Because they associate partner beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this itself made them to be impure in their mind, in their heart, because the way that they associate a partner beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about if a woman have her menses? Okay? A man in a state of janaba, as example, and they drank from this cup or from this vessel, is still permissible for the person to drink this. And this in the collection of Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayh, reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, radiallahu anha, قالت كنت أشرب وأنا حائض فأناوله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيضع فاه على موضع فيه. Okay, she said that I used to drink from the vessel while having my menses, and I will give it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will put his mouth or his lips in the same spot where I drank from, and he drank. Okay, and this also shows how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a husband, was so kind and so affection to affectionate to his wife, okay, and show her that how he loved her. So he can say, okay, what about you, pour me some water, or he can take it. No, but he intentionally will take it, and from the same spot he will go and drink. And this is shows you understand, because you know women, they would like to see these things, okay, feel that even if you married for 100 years, they still understand until the last breath, she won't show you that you love her, that, oh, I love you, honey, and all this stuff, okay? So you have to do some of this stuff to keep the machine keep going, you understand, keep the life going. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to take the vessel from her, and you know, even look how Aisha was doing it. He didn't ask you to give him to drink, but she used to be attention, like when they used to go to watch in the masjid in the day of Eid. And she was watching the Abyssinian people playing in the masjid with the swords, okay? And he said, did you see enough? Did you watch enough? He said, no. And she said, I have no need for me to watch these people, but only I want to see, you understand, how much the Prophet ﷺ loved me. I want to see also the other wives to see my position, that the Prophet loves me, you know? So here she want intentionally to give the cup to the Prophet ﷺ to drink, okay? And the Prophet ﷺ also make nice to her and take it and they drink, and he drink from the same spot that she drank from it. And this shows you that the suhr of a woman, even during menses, is no problem. A man can drink with no any harm. Alright, what about animals? Concerning animals, now we have two types of animals. Animals which eats meat lawful for us, like what, Anwar?
Cows.
One, Chicken is an animal? Uh-oh. Chicken is what? Huh? Chicken is an animal? Thank you. Bird, a bird. Okay, what else like animal, Ridwan? Camel? Camel is animal. Okay, and what else?
Sheep.
Goat? Huh? No, you could not call them all of them animals. There is tuyur, there is asma, there is hayawanat. Anyway, you have fishes, this is by itself, you have the crawling things, you understand, or what you call, yeah, crawling like
reptiles.
Yes, this is different categories, and you have the animals, and you got the flying things, what they call it, birds, so all this is. Anyway, but all of them is not a human being. This is the main thing to understand, okay? So we have animals which we can eat them, and we have animals which we could not eat them, okay? Alright. Now, you give me example by some of these animals that we can eat, like cows, camels. We don't see camels, although he didn't see the camel yet. But inshallah, when you go to study in Arabia, you'll see the camel, okay? And you have some camels with two gears and one gear, I mean with one hump and two humps, okay? Alright? So, camels, as example, if the camel drink from the water, the meat of the camel is loved. Oh, Hamza, mashallah. Breaks your wudu. It is recommended, okay? Allah knows best is it itself breaks your wudu, or was the occasion for something reason or for whatever reason that it breaks your wudu, but does not mean that the meat itself is impure because you eat it. You see, you understand? Otherwise, if makes break your wudu, that means he's najis, impure. How are you going to eat something impure? Okay? But animals in general, let me tell you one thing, in general, animals that you eat it, its saliva, its sore left over after drinking, its meat, its urine, its blood, even defecation. Okay?
What about it?
Huh? Is pure. Right? Is pure. Okay, so as example, if the camel urine and some of the urine came in you, this is not impure. All right. So these animals, okay, these animals that is pure, you can use the leftover water after them. Okay. Now donkeys and beast of prayer. You know what is this the name you say, beast of prayer?
Oh, beast of prayer.
Beast of prayer. Beast of prayer?
Yeah, that's what it's
You know what this mean? Anybody know what this term mean? Like lions, tigers. Okay, these things that attacks, okay, and eat other animals, okay? Now this you could not use the leftover water after them.
You said donkeys also?
Donkeys, yes. Okay. Mew. Okay. Animal like the cat will take a different case. Okay. The su'r and the leftover of the cat is pure that you can use it. Yes. There is a house cat and there is a street cat, any cat, doesn't matter, okay?
And dog, you can't.
No, the dog will be a different case which will come into it. But for the cat, okay? That there is hadith, Kafsha bint Ka'b, okay, and she was married to Abu Qatada, radiallahu anhu. And one day that he went there and the water and the cat came, so he tilt the vessel or the plate that has the water for the cat to drink. and the water, the cat drank from this water, and she was surprised or amazed, okay? So he said to her, are you amazed or surprised of what I did? She said, yes, of course. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, she is not najis. She is not, or it, actually, let's use the term it, the pronoun it. It, but I mean she because she is, the cat is feminine, okay? According the breakdown of, okay? Even in English. Oh, I got myself in the trouble. Let me get out. Okay, in Arabic, the cat, okay, regardless if a male or female, okay, is a feminine. Is this correct?
It's called cat.
الكات مؤنثة مش كده؟ regardless حتى لو هي ذكر مو صحيح؟ قطة. منتهية بتاع مربوطة. Okay? Is it? Has the sign of feminine. What has in the end? Yeah, تاء مربوطة. Okay? So the قطة or الهرة is feminine according the Arabic language. So anyway, back to the original subject, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that she is not najis, okay? That the cat is not impure. إِنَّهَ مِنَ الطَّوَافِينَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَالطَّوَافَاتِ, that among those who always what circulating around you or surrounded you, going back and forth, okay, comes and goes, always, okay, among you. Number five, okay, and before I go to this, in actuality, let me pause here. This book, which is used in Jami' al-Maftuha, they say about the leftover of mule and donkey and wild animals, okay, he says that is pure. But the hadith which he used, okay, is not authentic. So this is the reason that, okay, you see, if you go in Fiqh al-Sunnah, volume 1, and after Su'r of البغل والحمار والسباع وجوارح الطير, he said, وهو طاهر, لحديث جابر رضي الله عنه, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سئل, أنا توضأ بما أفضلت الحمر, قال نعم, وبما أفضلت السباع كلها, أخرج الشافعي والدارقطني والبهقي, وقال له إسناد, okay, but this hadith is ضعيف. And the other hadith which reported by Ibn Umar also is ضعيف. And the next hadith after this by Yahya ibn Sa'id is also weak. Okay? So actually he used the evidence, but all the evidence, the none of them is authentic. And I thought that I brought the book by Sheikh al-Albani concerning, yeah, I think is here. Let me see, maybe he made a correction about it, inshallah. Okay, Sheikh Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani, حفظه الله وبرك في حياتي, in his book, which he making correction, تمام المنة في التعليق على فقه السنة, okay, making correction for فقه السنة, up under the chapter of Su'r, he brought this hadith and he's saying, قلت هذا الحديث ضعيف كما قال النووي في المجموع. Okay, and also he went to the other side and say, وأما قول البيهقي المذكور فالظاهر من تخريج للحديث في السنن الكبرى أنه يعني أسند دائرة على داود بن الحسين عن أبي وقفي كلها ضعيفة كما يشير. Okay, ثم أن متن الحديث منكر. So anyway, so Sheikh Nasir al-Din al-Albani says that all this ahadith which you're talking about shows the permissibility of using the leftover water after drinking from you and donkey and wild animals, say all of them is weak. And now he came to the conclusion, وَظَاهِرْ هَذَا يَدُلَّ عَلَى نَجَاسَ السُّؤْرِ السِّبَاعِ. Okay, And he says that what we see from this, that the su'r, the leftover after drinking for wild animals, is najis, is impure. Okay, so this is what is the Sheikh here saying, and inshallah this is what I feel more comfortable with it. So the exception comes here for the cat, and we said why, and we saw the hadith, and the hadith is sahih. Now comes about the su'r of kalb and khanzir. Kalb and khanzir. Okay? What is the kalb?
Dog.
And the khanzir?
Pig.
MashaAllah. I don't know any Muslim American except to know what's khanzir. And he said, وَهُوَ najis. Okay? And that the su'r left over water after drinking from dog as well as pig, swine, okay, is impure, and that you have to stay away from it. And the su'r of kalb, okay, not qalb, the su'r of kalb, the leftover remaining water after drinking from dog, is impure because what is came in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا شَرِبَ الْكَلْبُ فِي إِنَاءِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلْيَغْسِلْهُ سَبْعًا, that if a dog drank out of the vessel of one of you, let him wash it 7 times. Okay? ولأحمد ومسلم طهور إناء أحدكم إذا ولغ فيه الكلب أن يغسله 7 مرات أولاهن بالتراب. Okay, and in another narration from Imam Ahmad and Imam Muslim, that purification of the plate or the vessel or the dish of one of you, if dog licks and eats in it, not touch it, okay, that means he stick his tongue on it, this is called walag, okay, that 7 times, that the first of them have to be with what? With dirt, okay. So this shows you the impurity and how serious the impurity of the dog, if he eats in the plate or drinks from the plate, that you have to wash it 7 times. And it have to be not only water, but you have to use what, the dirt also in the first time. And the khinzir is equal to this.
If the dog licks you,
if the dog licks you, if the dog licks you, run him away. It seems, and Allah knows best, okay, that this was related to the ina or the vessel or the actual things that you eat from it, okay, or you drink in it, or okay, that it's purification of such a thing. Other than this, okay, I'm not going to ask you to wash your soap and or your pants 7 times and one of them was dirt. But we say that you should wash it. But if the dog touch you by any other place out other than the mouth, that is no need for doing anything. So in actuality, the 7 times and the dirt is specifically relating to the plates or the vessel. And it have to be walgh. And this it means that he stick his tongue, the action, exactly, okay? But touching it or sniff it or anything like this, this it doesn't apply, all right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So this specifically or barely what is related to water here, And before I finish, I want to go back to, because we're supposed to be studying and making sharh of Bulugh al-Maram. So now we study three hadith from Bulugh al-Maram last week. And Sister Fathia, inshallah, may Allah heal her and her daughter. It's not a big thing, it's the only blue eye. What you call it? Pink eye. I'm sorry. No, her husband doesn't beat. I forgot. It's a pink eye for her daughter and sore throat was here, inshallah. But we pray with them for shifa. She was so concerned about this hadith number three, that part of it da'if, part of it sahih, and all this technical stuff that sometimes confuse the students of knowledge like myself, not like the Sister Fathia. But basically, yes, the hadith which reported by Abu Umama al-Bahili radiallahu an, and this hadith number three. Okay, the hadith number three, I said last week, is da'if, is weak. Okay, the hadith as hadith in general, the whole hadith is da'if. Although the first part of the hadith, which is say, إِنَّ الْمَاءَ لَا يُنَجِّسُ شَيْءٍ, until here, this is authentic, which came from another hadith. Alright? But now the second part of the hadith say, that water cannot be rendered impure by anything. This part of the hadith is authentic, but is not in this narration, from other narration. Okay. Now, the continuation of the hadith is saying, except something which changes its smell, taste, and color. This is the part that is not authentic, but came both of them together as in one statement, and by a reporter who are Abu Umama. Okay, and this is the reason that we classify the whole hadith to be a weak hadith. Okay, but if anybody so concerned about which part is what is not authentic, is the part that say illa ma ghalaba ala rihihi wa ta'mihi wa lawnihi. Okay, except, okay, from the part say except. Alright, now we go to hadith number 4, and it talk about hadith here. Say, اتفق المحدثون على تضعيف هذا الحديث وسبب تضعيفه أنه من رواية راشدين ابن سعد وهو متروك الحديث. Okay, إلا أن قوله أن الماء لا ينجسه شيء قد ثبت مثله من حديث بئر بضاعة وهو صحيح, فالتضعيف خاص بالاستثناء. Okay, this is the same thing I just had mentioned in English. Okay, so we go in page number 14 in Bulugh al-Maram and hadith number 4, and we go on quick inshallah, because some of this hadith I already had covered, except if I found something that I didn't cover, I'll try to explain it. The hadith number 4, which reported by Abdullah ibn Umar, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كان الماء قلتين لم يحمل الخبث وفي لفظ لم ينجس, أخرج الأربعة وصححه ابن خزيمة والحاكم وابن حبان. Okay, basically I spoke about this hadith, but for quick reminder, this the reporter of the hadith is Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab, which accepted Islam while he was young boy in Mecca. And the first time that he attained the battle of Khandaq, and he died in Mecca in the year 70 3. The hadith is mentioning that if the ma is qullatayn, if there is enough water to fill two pots, okay, qulla, it carries no impurity. Another version has said it is doesn't become unclean. Okay, and we said last week that مقدار القلتين نحو 500 رطل أي عراقي. Okay, which I saw something else about this hadith, which is in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, okay, and the Tirmidhi and the Nisa'i. Imam al-Tahawi and al-Zahabi and al-Nawawi and Imam al-Albani, they said this hadith was authentic. Okay, and I gave some kind of measurement last week about what is a qulla, and we said if we have something like the width of it like one arm and fourth, okay, like as example from my chin to the end of my tip fingers, okay, and the same width approximately like one arm and the depth one arm, this is called qulla. Okay, so if the water, this is what you call it as a large quantity, so if the water reaches this amount, so doesn't carry impurity. Okay, except, alright, that if something changes the water condition, the natural condition of it. Okay, and this is ijma' from the ulama, that means the scholars agreed about it. It's not because the hadith saying this, but this because the water became no water, is not identified as water anymore. Okay, so now in this hadith we see that what is considered little water, what is less than two qulla, okay, which can be affected by the impurity. What if the impurity affected the color or the taste or anything this? That what is considered as a large quantity of water is what is more than two qulla. That if the impurity affects the natural condition of the water is not pure, purifying anymore. We go to hadith number 5 in بلوغ المرام page number 14, hadith number 5 reported by Abu Huraira that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يغتسل أحدكم في الماء الدائم وهو جنب. Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying none, oh let me, I have it here in English, I can read it. No, I rather say my own English. None of you should take ghusl, okay, bathing in standing water while he is junub. Okay? And what's saying Bulugh al-Maram? None of you should take bath in stagnant water when he is sexually impure. Okay? And this is the collection of Imam Muslim. الماء الدائم, that mean stagnant, okay, standing in the same place. لا يغتسل فيه, that mean don't jump into the water and take your bath in it, okay. In another narration for Imam Muslim, لا يغتسل أحدكم في الماء الدائم وهو جنب. From this we understand that is not permissible for a person while he is junub, that means after intercourse, male or female, okay, to dip in the stagnant water, regardless if this water is little or a lot, okay, because it's stagnant water, okay. In another narration is saying لا يبولن أحدكم في الماء الدائم الذي لا يجري ثم يغتسل فيه. Okay, another version of Bukhari say, none of you should urinate in the stagnant water that is not flowing, then take bath in it. Okay? لا يغتسل, that means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is forbidding you to do this, that means you shouldn't do this action that he forbid you to do. ماء دائم, water with the stagnant, that means standing in the same place. Not to urine, okay, in it. You are not supposed to urine in it. And after this, you taking a bath in it also in the same time. We understand also from this that the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbidding us in two actions. One action is bathing in the stagnant water while you are after janaba. And the other one is forbidding you urinated, okay, in the stagnant water and after this taking a bath in it or shower in it. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying not to do this, that means it's forbidden to do it, it's haram. And if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that it's haram and it's forbidden you to do this, that means this kind of bathing is not sufficient, is not going to
purify
you, exactly. Also, forbidding you of urinating in the stagnant water. Sitting in one spot, no flowing, no coming, no source of coming, no source of taking it away. What's the difference? You know my English is. Okay. I'm coming to you, sister. Patient, Sean. And from this hadith also we see that the Prophet ﷺ showing us that a person is not supposed to harm other Muslim by any means. Because when you go and urine in a water, okay, this that is spoiling this water, okay, and this will be disturbing for other people. And possibility also that carrying disease and things like this. So the Muslim have to be very careful about his action and not to do anything which can be a causing of a disturbance for other Muslim by any means. Also, we understand from this hadith that permissibility of taking this water and washing out of the water, okay? That means don't dip in the water, but you may take a bucket with water and you go someplace, okay, and you can wash yourself, okay?
But otherwise you shouldn't even be close enough where you can go back.
Exactly, okay, otherwise we'll be going back to the same result again. Yeah, you shouldn't be close enough that the water will be running again to the same source, okay? That you took it from. Come to hadith number 6. وعن رجل صاحب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن تغتسل المرأة بفضل الرجل أو الرجل بفضل المرأة وليغترف جميعا. أخرجه أبو داود والنسائي وإسناده صحيح وصححه الألباني. Okay. This hadith we had mentioned it already, but concerning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying For the hadith is saying الرجل, and this hadith, this man, which is been said that he is al-Hakam ibn Amr, okay, and it is also been said that he is Abdullah ibn Mughaffal, okay. Regardless, whosoever the person, that one of the companions, and all of them are just, udul, is no problem. Narrated that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade a woman to bathe with the water left over by a man, and that a man should not bathe with the water left over by a woman, and instead they should both take scoopfuls of water together, okay? And this hadith, as we said, we mentioned this hadith before, that if it's forbidden, it's forbidden not in degree of being forbidden, but if forbidden, that means disliked, okay? Because we saw the hadith which comes after this right away, which reported by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yaghtasilu bi fadli maymuna, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to behave with the water left over by Maymuna radiallahu anha, which one of his wives, okay? Okay, alhamdulillah, this hadith that I was careful to narrate it, I see it here, and is sahih. This hadith, which a part of another version from hadith number 7, in page number 15, from Bulugh al-Maram, that ولأصحاب السنن اغتسل بعض أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في جبنة فجاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليغتسل منها فقالت له إني كنت جنبا فقال إن الماء لا يجنب وصححه الترمذي وابن خزيمة صحيح. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم one of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم wives took bathe from a vessel. Then came the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when he wanted to take bath from that vessel, she said, I was sexually impure. He said, water doesn't become sexually impure, okay? And the hadith is authentic. So doesn't matter even if the water left in a bucket after a woman taking ghusl for janaba or whatever it is, or after menses, the water doesn't carry the impurity because somebody dipped their hand in it, okay? So the water doesn't carry this, okay? So the Prophet ﷺ said, water does not become sexually impure. In al ma la yajnub. So from this hadith we understand that it is permissible for a man to use the leftover water after a woman, and for a woman to do the same also. Okay? The next hadith, which number 8, reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and this talks about Zawalag al-Kalb, which we mentioned about it, but I want to see what term that he used here. The cleansing of utensil belonging to one of you after it has been licked by a dog is to wash it 7 times using soil for cleaning at the first time, okay? Some hadith came, one ihdahunna bu'l-turab, and one hadith came, okay, ulahunna bu'l-turab, and it seemed to be the most authentic or the most famous one among them, is that the first one should be with dust, okay? When you say tahur, bidam al-ta' And it is permissible also to make it with fatha, tahur or tuhur, the vessel of one of you, is a walag al-kalb. When you say lekt or walag, إذا أدخل لسانه في الماء وغيره من كل مائع فحرقه شرب أو لم يشرب فإذا كان غير قال لعقه وليس ولغ. Okay, when you say ولغ, that means when the dog stick his tongue in liquid and move his tongue in it regardless he drank from it or no. Right? But if something is not liquid, solid, now we say he licked, not walag. Okay? It's two different terms. Okay? When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the vessel of one of you does not mean that you have to own and possess. So if it's my bucket, now I have to seven times wash in one with dust. But if this bucket I borrow from Abu Bakr, so it's not mine, I only using it, so it's not mine, now I, okay? This not the way how to understand. In another version he said falyurikhu, that mean although that in Fath al-Bari said لم يصح نقلها عن الحفاظ. And anyway, let's stay away from it. They are not sure about pouring this water, okay? And pour whatever it is, okay? Because this will be wasting of it. But we understand from this hadith that the dog mouth is impure, that any vessel that dog had moved his tongue in it, that have to be washed seven times, and that it must be one of them with dust, okay, or dirt, and that it should be the first one, okay. The next hadith after this, which is number 9, and we already have it, we don't have to go over it again, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is not unclean, but is one of those who intermingle with you, talking about the cat, okay, and the hadith is authentic. And the next hadith after this, which is number 10, page number 16 in the book of Bulugh al-Maram, we talk about it, that this Bedouin man came and he urinated in the mosque, in one of the corners of the mosque, and the people shouted at him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped them. And when the man فلما قضى بوله أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بذنوب من ماء فأهريق عليه متفق عليه. And when he finished urinating, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم order for a bucket of water which was spilled over it. Okay. Next hadith number 11, okay, before we go to number 11, from this hadith we learn that the urine of the human being, okay, male or female for sure, is najis, is impure. Okay. Also we learn from this hadith that we can profile the ground or the land with what? With water. Number 3, the importance of respecting the mosque. Okay, because mosque is not for things like this. number 4 or number 5, that we have to be kind towards ignorant people who doesn't know about the teaching of Islam. We be patient with them, we don't have to jump in their case right away and beat them up. Number 6, the kindness and the mercy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Finally, that we should leave the worst of the two harm, taking the least of the two evil.